Am I the only one here tonight? Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not. Who thinks of taking all the good we got and turning it bad? Hell, I'll be damned. I think I'm turning into my old man. Am I the only one willing to bleed or take a bullet for being free? Screaming what the hell in my TV for telling me, yeah. Am I the only one not brainwashed, making my way through the land of the lost, who sees it as it is and worries about his kids as they try to undo all the things he did? Am I the only one who can't take no more screaming? If you don't like it, there's a freaking door. This ain't the freedom we've been fighting for. It was something more, yeah, it was something more. Am I the only one willing to fight for my love of the red and white and the blue? Burning on the ground, another statue coming down in a town near you. Watching the threads of all glory come undone. Not the only one. I can't be the only one. Am I the only one who quit singing along every time they play a Springsteen?
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio Night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that No Pork Eating America lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Doing great, Vito. Good to be here as always.
It is great to be here as always. Hey, before we get started, I just want to send our Global Patriot Radio prayers, thoughts and prayers to G-Ski. If you know that G-Ski and Dave have a show, Airwaves America, 7 p.m. on Fridays, and on a Blog Talk Radio, and G-Ski is not doing very well. He's waiting for a transplant, and the poor man is hanging on. So if you would, you know, I'm asking you all to please keep G-Ski in your prayers and in your thoughts, and let's pray that something happens that he can certainly get the transplant that he sorely needs. So G-Ski, if you're listening, man, we're praying for you, bud.
Wow, did not know that. Very nice man, and just started getting back into doing the Blog Talk Radio and taking some time off. So,
yeah,
wish him a speedy recovery.
He came on the show and he talked about him getting back, and he talked about an upbeat man, and you know, having a really nice outlook on life. So, you know, really feel bad. It's he's a good man. So, you know, God bless you, G. Yesterday, it kicked off the first event for the 21-22 PGA Tour season, and it was pretty exciting, actually, if you happen to watch it. Did you watch it last night?
A little bit, but not much. I was elsewhere.
Yeah, it came down to where Matt, rookie, he's been in 4 years, but he hadn't won yet, but the up-and-coming there, Maverick McNealy, you know, came out and took the lead by two shots. And then from behind, all of a sudden, this guy, America's Max Homa, H-O-M-A, was starting to kick it in. And he started birdieing. And before you know it, he was one shot back. And then he was tied. And then all of a sudden, on Homa's one hole ahead, he's on 17. And McNealy is playing 16, and 16 is this little, it's an anemic 379-yard hole. It's not easy by any means, but anyways, McNealy is struggling, hits a terrible drive after birdieing 15, and Homa hits a shot to like 18 feet, and he drains the putt on 17, and McNealy is now trying to chip, you know, for a par, and he's struggling, and Homa just boom, nails it, goes 18 on the par. All of a sudden, you turn around, Homa double bogeys 16. Now he's two shots back, and Homa's got a two-shot lead, and then a three-shot lead, excuse me. And I think McNealy ended up coming in second, and Homa seized the lead, and he secured his third win of his young career. And this guy is really a sleeper, so it was really cool to watch. Really good tournament for the first tournament of the year. And a lot of the big guns weren't there because they're preparing for the Ryder Cup this week. But the world number one, John Rahm, played in it. Mickelson played. So it was a good tournament, and good to see the start of the year. But this week is the Ryder Cup week, so pitting the United States against Europe, not just the UK and Ireland.
Yep, a lot of drama already starting off for this year's Ryder Cup. The Americans are, well, let's say independently dysfunctional as a team.
Yes.
So
yes.
Smart money is on the Europeans. Sad to say.
Yeah, you know what? I was talking to somebody about the same thing, and I actually talked to Holger about the same thing, I would put money on Europeans. I just think, you know, the two things that stood out to me this past week. One is very disappointed in Billy Horschel's comments throwing the Ryder Cup cap, the American Ryder Cup captain, Steve Stricker, under the bus. Now, he didn't make it, Horschel didn't make the team because he didn't play very well, but he won a tournament 2 weeks ago or last week in Europe, okay? But he threw in typical American fashion, he threw the president under the bus, the president of the Ryder Cup, and the captain, excuse me. And then all of a sudden it comes out later in the week, like Friday or Saturday, Bryson DeChambeau is having hand issues. Really? I mean, it's like, why? And DeChambeau has been training for the long drive championship, and he may have hurt his hands. It's like, wait a minute. You got a week to go to the Ryder Cup, and you're training for the long drive championship? I mean, this is one of the biggest tournaments. And now, mind you don't get paid, but it's one of the most prestigious competitions in the world, in any sporting venue, a tradition that has that's been on for what, 60, 70, 80 years. And because it's about you, you're training for the long drive championship when you should be in Whistling Straits, just learning every inch of Whistling Straits golf course, every inch, knowing where you can hit your 400-yard drive, know where you hit your 3-wood or what irons, and know where to be smart and to play smart because of your length. But he may have hurt his hands. You know what? Who cares? I hope he did, and you're gone. I mean, talk about selfish. So your description was right. Now, you're about the American players. I don't get it.
For selfish reasons, I hope they put Koepka and DeChambeau together just for the entertainment value alone. But DeChambeau, if he hurt his hand, pull him, get him out of there. And who would you put in to replace him?
Well, he said he's fine. Okay? He said he's fine. Yeah. So, I mean, but the idea was is that the issue was we were supposed to feel sorry for him because he may have hurt his hands. Well, I don't feel sorry for him. I mean, this is you have plenty of time to train for a long drive championship. Right now, your mission at hand is to see about beating the cohesive Europeans who hold the Ryder Cup. So I just, certainly it's an opinion, and everybody has one.
Well, for those who don't know, the Ryder Cup, we're going to be looking at three relentless days of matches, Friday through Sunday. It'll be held at Whistling Straits, like you said, the Cliffside Course with over 1,000 bunkers that has hosted the PGA Championship three times in the last 17 years. So that'll give you a little bit of background on where the course will be played, how tough it is going to be. So even if you don't like golf, give it a watch because it'll be interesting.
Yeah, be pretty good, pretty good. Mm-hmm.
You know what I did watch?
What you did watch?
I watched Colton Herta at the Laguna Seca. That was quite a race. I don't know if you channel surfed and got any of that, but Colton Herta, open wheel racing, absolutely fantastic, fun to watch. And if you haven't watched an open wheel race lately, do, because the way that they have the camera system set up inside the cars, it feels exactly like you're in there with the driver. You can feel the speed and the turn, and a lot of fun to watch. And Colton Herta, he's the son. His dad was a great racer as well, and he passed his dad with his fifth victory, which is kind of phenomenal. And it was an excellent race. So,
wow.
Look for the highlights. A lot of fun.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah, great fun.
Huh. Some breaking news. The update on Gabby Petito. We've not really talked about this, but this is a lady that was traveling cross country with her boyfriend / fiance Brian Laundrie, and she went missing. And Brian Laundrie drives back to Florida from Wyoming without Gabby Petito, and nothing suspicious there. And of course the families are going crazy trying to find the lady. And it turns out that they did find a body yesterday in the Grand Teton Mountains, I guess, in the Teton Mountain area. And matches the description of one Gabby Petito. So the FBI now and the police considered Brian Laundrie a person of interest last week. And now this person of interest who has been on his own, now he's missing. He went somewhere for a walk and he just walked out. He walked away. I mean, what the hell's going on in America today? What's going on? You know, dude, what did you do with Gabby? And now that they found her, you know, there's no way, shape, or form that this guy didn't have something to do with her missing, her death. I mean, this is incredible what we're seeing. You know, why did you do it? You know, the questions that would come forth immediately is, why isn't she with you? And then do you have video evidence surfacing, some police officer body cam that shows that that the police in somewhere Arizona or someplace like that had the authorities came out to investigate the fact that he was hitting her. And now you just label this guy a person of interest and he just walks away and he falls out of sight. The police, the FBI, and other agencies in Northport, Florida, unsuccessfully searched for Carlton Reserve area to the north of the city. The city would be Northport, on Saturday, where Brian Laundrie's parents said he was last seen on a hike Tuesday. On a hike Tuesday. Now, Saturday, let's see, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday, Saturday. So 4 days later, and this guy's missing, and nobody sees a hide or hair of the guy. This is unbelievable how you can let a suspect. First of all, this guy drives back from Wyoming without his girlfriend. That's a person of interest, one. Secondly, he goes absolutely silent. He doesn't say a word. That's implication two. Now, I know you're innocent until proven guilty, but by God, you're not going to be let out of our sight. I mean, and I know you don't want to rush to judgment and arrest the guy and then find out that, you know, he didn't do it, you know, and wrongfully accuse the guy, and then you blow your whole case in the event that he is guilty. But, dude, everything was – the writing was on the wall. And now for 4 days, the guy goes missing, and so you have no idea where he is.
Can you say on the run? Parents possibly helped. I say haul the parents in as an accessory, put them in jail, and then put it out so the little runaway murderer can hear that his parents now are in jail because of him, and he'll come out of the woodwork or not.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he would. He's that self-centered. I mean, first of all, the guy drives 1,000 miles plus from Wyoming to Florida without his girlfriend and then doesn't answer any questions and then resumes his life as if nothing happened. And he's going to worry about his parents going to jail?
No,
he's a psychopath.
Parents cared enough. His parents, though, cared enough to not turn him in and aided and abetted his escape.
Yeah.
Some would say.
That's just, you know, and he's not even Italian, you know.
With the name like Laundrie? Hmm.
Yeah, Laundrie, it's launder, you would wonder, you know, but just because.
Either way, it's a sad situation. She was a good kid.
It is.
You know, it's just a senseless murder, and I don't know. It'll be interesting how this plays out, but. Either way, an innocent girl lost her life, and families are ruined. How this tears up friends and family for hell.
My goodness. And Belly was right, you know, Vito, get with the woke crowd. The criminal suspects have all the rights, and victims are disregarded during and after. That's true. And that's the way the woke crowd is operating today under the Marxist mentality. Jesus, I can't believe the FBI. Well, you know what? I'm beginning. I mean, that's another naive statement to think that the FBI couldn't bungle this. I mean, come on. I mean, given the credibility of the FBI lately is just is not very good.
That is true, but they did find the body pretty quick. And that Grand Teton National Forest is a huge, vast area, and how they found the body so quickly is amazing.
420,000 acres.
Yeah, I've been there. It's beautiful, but parts of it extremely remote and hard to get to.
Well, apparently some lady had taken a video of she was driving a car behind her husband, and she was taking a video in the Grand Teton area, and they were going through this this one little stretch. It was a stop of camping area or something, and the van that Petito and Laundry were driving in was parked on the side, and there were flip flops outside the van. So I guess maybe they had an idea as to what part of the country, where they were at certain times. It enabled the authorities to kind of go in different directions and to pinpoint some areas. But, and the fact is that this guy's a scumbag, and there's no way, shape, or form that I would leave my girlfriend and or my wife, okay, in a remote area in Wyoming and drive 1,000 miles back to my home and then not say a fucking thing. So, you know, I'm sorry.
And lawyer up at that.
And lawyer up. Yeah, yeah.
Crazy world.
So we are going to have, hopefully in 10 minutes, we'll have Andrew Harrod on. But before that, you know, there's been, we're all following it, okay? You know, Biden you have the establishment going in complete cover-up for Biden. The man is uninspiring. He's a dolt. He's an imbecile. He's inept. And everything he touches turns to crap, as he did, you know, Afghanistan and the economy and energy. And so here is Nancy Pelosi. She's doing some sort of interview, and she has the audacity to utter the following. It's 37-second clip, and if you're eating, I would suggest you stop eating for a few seconds here, for 37 seconds, because it might make you sick to listen to the cover-up from this corrupt, petulant Pelosi.
Let me just say about our president, President Biden. President Biden we're so fortunate that he did not win for president before when he ran, because we needed him now. He's perfect for now. He knows his foreign policy. He was chair of the Foreign Policy Committee. He's been, extends the hands of friendship to friend and foe alike in order to have communication. He understands the value of that. He knows and is known by most leaders and coming up leaders in the world.
Pelosi video tells all we need to know about the corrupt and dishonest D.C. cabal. I mean, for 4 years, it was all about hating and resisting Trump, demonizing the man to make sure that he didn't succeed because Donald Trump was an outsider. Nancy Pelosi just showed her true colors when she lied about Joe Biden. Biden has proven to be an imbecile and an inept fool who's controlled by outside sources because he can't think for himself. Now the sales job begins. Frauds like Nancy Pelosi come out from under their rock with some BS talking points such as Biden extends his hands of friendship to friends and foe alike. Really, Nancy? I mean, because bumbling Biden was on the Foreign Relations Committee, your corrupt mind justifies Biden knowing foreign policy? So where were you, Nancy, when President Trump extended his hand of friendship to friend and foe alike, foes like Kim Jong-un? Huh? You ridiculed President Trump for extending the hand of friendship to seek peace, not war. President Trump extended that hand, not to a foe, not just once, not twice, but three times. And in the process, he did what 10 presidents before him couldn't do. He brought back the remains of 53 U.S. soldiers killed during the Korean War. Building a dialogue with the despotic Kim Jong-un, that should have been praised. Instead, the corrupt cabal led by Nancy Pelosi resisted President Trump. Now today, in 2021, you have Nancy Pelosi selling snake oil with her propaganda campaign of deceit. Bumbling Biden is the right man for the job. Bumbling Biden executed a successful exit strategy in Afghanistan. That's what her march for was 2 weeks ago, trying to sanitize, you know, how Biden-Harris botched Afghanistan. But, of course, Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to speak about the loss of 13 U.S. soldiers killed due to a feckless fraud's policy, or the chaos which has ensued over 14 days in Afghanistan, or the Americans still stranded in Afghanistan. Pelosi is a liar with a capital L. Biden and Obama's extended their hand of friendship to a foe by greasing the palms of the theocratic, despotic Islamic terrorist regime of Iran. That's okay with the establishment like Nancy Pelosi, because like Iran, the Democrat Communist Party despises America and its constitutional republic. The establishment led by Obama and Pelosi are pulling the fool Biden strings, propping up and controlling the little man who tries to act like a tough guy. You know, he tries to act like that big man on campus. But Biden is a fool, a chimpanzee for people like Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and why Biden's camp is a mirrored image of Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama's communist and Marxist movement. The very people who despise America's constitutional republic and the freedoms and liberties that come with our great foundings. Isn't it ironic that Saturday was Constitution Day, 234 years since the adoption of our U.S. Constitution in 1787? There was no pomp and circumstance, because today we have despots, demons who despise our Constitution and America's system of governance inside Washington, D.C., running the executive and legislative branches of government. These anti-constitutionalists are working hard to undermine the very Constitution that has guided this great country for 234 years. Some of these anti-Americans active in undermining our republic are a list of who's who, such as Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, he/she Michelle Obama, Joe Biden, Communist Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Hillary Rodham Clinton, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, George Soros, Mini Mike Bloomberg, Steny Hoyer, Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, John Kerry, to name a few. All left-wing anti-constitutionalists, anti-Americans, Marxists who despise and seek to divide this great country. But don't be afraid to say it anymore. It's time to call out these frauds. They are running for and in your local government seats. They are running for and in state government houses. They are running for the U.S. House. They are running for the U.S. Senate. They are in the White House. Nancy Pelosi's video, the audio, is further proof how corrupt the good old boy and girls club cabal is in Washington, D.C. Pelosi looks you in the eyes and lies right to your face, telling you bumbling buffoon Biden is the right man. You know, I remember hearing that same phrase about being the right man at the right time by Warren Buffett in April 2010, when he stated Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama was the right man at the time. It wasn't true then, and certainly is not true today after petulant Pelosi uttered those phony words. Biden is a stooge, a myopic fool who can't get out of his own way, but he can be controlled due to one thing, dismantling everything Trump did. Biden turns off his hearing aids, empties his brain, and the empty suit walks away. He turns his back on America and Americans, the perfect stooge. But don't forget, the DNC media is corrupt and dishonest as well. They have their marching orders to apply two sets of rules. One for the insiders, the corrupt cabal players like bumbling Biden and Nancy Pelosi, and one for the outsiders who dare to step inside the circle of the corrupt District of Columbia as Donald Trump did. No outrage or media coverage over Obama-Biden administration using the FBI to spy on a citizen of the United States of America and a candidate for a major party. Where's the outrage of the Biden-Harris Marxist movement silencing the media? Biden constantly uttering, I've been instructed not to take any questions. I've been instructed to call on certain people in the media. I like vanilla ice cream. Nancy Pelosi's arrogance speaks volumes. This is how the cabal works in Washington, D.C. It's their house. It's not the people's house. They run the government, and don't you forget it. We the people means nothing to these seditious and treasonous anti-constitutionalists. Now, go along, wear your mask, and get vaccinated, because we, the cabal, control you. You will kneel and bow to us, and we'll tell you when you can come up and play, and don't you forget it. I hear Nancy Pelosi talking now. She made excuses for Biden 2 weeks ago when he botched Afghanistan, and they're sitting there, they're selling us on the fact that, oh, well, it was a perfectly executed plan, it was well executed, it was such an undertaking. Bull. He botched it. And now there's Americans still sitting behind, and as Colonel John said last week, how many hundreds are there? Every week, every day, it's 100 are left behind. You have an evacuation of 1,000 people, and 100 are left behind. And before you know it, you have 100 for 14 days that are still left behind. Is it the same 100? I venture not. How is it that you have men who served in Benghazi who were let out? They were hung out to dry by the Obama-Biden regime, and they're back as mercenaries to extract Americans from Afghanistan. Huh? How does that happen when the commander-in-chief abandons Americans, pulls out all troops before he pulls out civilians? You know, this guy, everything that Biden touches turns to crap, and we have excuses being made, and they're trying to sanitize this feckless fraud. And as long as you're in that camp, as long as you're in that establishment camp in Washington, D.C., like the camp that's made up of Pelosi, of Schumer, of Schiff, okay, you're safe meat, okay? Even with that AOC, that brain-dead idiot who's serving in the United States House. And where is the Speaker of the House chastising a fellow member of the House? Pelosi is the Speaker of the House. AOC is a member of that House, and she violated House rules. She violated ethic rules. But, of course, when you talk about ethics and Democrat Party, there is no ethics inside of being a Democrat, so she is a good Democrat. She violated campaign rules. She violated House rules. $30,000event she goes to, a $30,000 swag bag. She gets that Chick-fil-A dress donated to her. That's $8,000. I mean, and again, like, there's no problem with ethics violations. And I can remember a congressman by the name of Tom Feeney who they wrote out of Congress for taking a $1,200 golf trip, and then he ends up declaring it and paying the taxes on it, okay? But the fact that he took a $1,200 golf trip to Ireland, that was enough to say, oh, that he's a sordid individual. Oh, I can't believe he did that. Wah, 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 wah. Oh, in the meantime, this broad's got, what, $60,000, $70,000 that she's unaccounted for? God. I mean, how corrupt are we looking at? I mean, and Nancy Pelosi doing her snake oil saleswoman job.
I got kind of a different take.
Okay.
I think that President Biden is anything but incompetent, anything but decrepit, anything but mentally deficient, because in my history, I have never seen one president destroy the United States so quickly in less than a year. Everything he's touched has been wrong, but he's touched a lot. I mean, right out of the gate, there's 50 executive orders, and there were 50 more that literally negated everything that President Trump had done in the 4 years that he was in office. And the most recent betrayal is the withdrawal of U.S. Patriot batteries from Saudi Arabia. And it's the equivalent, according to Faisal J. Abbas. He says it is the equivalent of denying Israel its Iron Dome technology while it was under attack from Hamas, because the Saudi Arabians are under attack from the Houthis. The Houthis are Muslims, but they're supporting of Shia Muslims in Iran. and they are continually firing missiles and militarized drones into Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia needed that technology to counter the missiles coming in. But President Biden pulled those from Saudi Arabia. And whatever you may think of Saudi Arabia, I think they're a bunch of assholes, and I think they had something to do with 9/11 on one level or another. They're not our friends, but they're frenemies is how I look at it.
Right.
And I dislike Iran more. I think Iran is more of an enemy than Saudi Arabia. Be that as it may, what President Trump did there, betraying Saudi Arabia, was reckless, and it's shaking up the Middle East, and nothing good's going to come of it. But he has done so much bad in such a short amount of time that this is exactly what he wants. He's doing what he wants, and he's doing it bad things extremely well. That's how I look at it. And my opinion is that the more that people in the media talking class keep saying, oh, how I don't know, what's the word they're using now to describe President Biden's diminished capacity?
Yeah.
I think that they are knowingly or unknowingly giving him cover, because I'll bet you that he's doing – whether he's doing it himself or not, he is getting it done. And every time that he is discounted in the media, I think it gives him cover because people aren't going after him like they should. But that's my point of view.
Well, okay, so in my opinion, I think that there is there is a coordinated effort. When you look inside the Biden-Harris regime, you see the same exact players as you saw from 2009 to 2016. The same players.
Mm-hmm.
The Susan Rice, the Valerie Jarrett's, what's
Obama
that broad's
team.
Name? Samantha... What's her name?
Powers.
Thank you. Yeah. And you have an FBI that has been given a pass for the last 4 years. I mean, I still marvel at the fact that the same players are leading the FBI, like the Christopher Wrays, who were involved in the 2016 illegal activity without any consequences. Yes, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page are gone, but when you read the 10,000 plus pages of Lisa Page, between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, and how they were instructed to orchestrate the attack on candidate Trump and then President-elect Trump and then President Trump, I find it. Honestly, I am perplexed as to how this is allowed to occur. I mean, first of all, and I understand it. You know, I'm not naive enough to think. I remember, you know, when Richard Nixon was taken down, the Nixon administration, it was a hard-on to get the Republican Party. You know, it was Richard Nixon was a marked man. Did he do something? Did he authorize? He said he wasn't involved, but his team was involved. Okay. So now take that team mentality and apply it to today. And you have the Biden and Harris and his people have allowed the Muslim Brotherhood back into the front door of the White House, establishing policies.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Biden regime and Biden rescinding everything that President Trump did. Everything that was pro-American has been rescinded. And you had a mission of resistance by the very people who are now in power and have resumed power, such as Nancy Pelosi. For 4 years, she undertook the mission of resisting President Trump at every level, including including the positive things he did for America, reducing taxes for each and every working American, bringing corporations back into America by reducing taxes. And now we fast forward to 2021, and what's the first thing the feckless old fraud has done? They are looking at rescinding the tax programs and reinstituting higher taxes on corporations, bringing to a halt any type of economic growth. Of course, the pandemic does lend to this and help, you know, bring about deficit spending and bringing an economy to a halt. Of course, it's also allowing for unemployment numbers to go up now with the new edicts that are being put forth by dictator Joe Biden with regards to you wear a mask, get vaccinated, or you're fired. Okay. And now there's some resistance from the American people. And it's something that I don't think that the cabal in D.C. thought would occur. They thought that the American people would just roll over. But we have a corrupt media in this country as well. They don't hold this anti-constitutional government under any type of scrutiny. And isn't it ironic that the media hides behind the First Amendment, the freedom of the press and freedom of speech, but the first thing that's going to go under a dictator's reign is going to be freedom of speech. And we hear it now with Biden. I've been instructed to call on. I've been instructed not to take any questions. You're instructed? Do you think for yourself? You know, how is it that Donald Trump was such a bad man that when he'd leave the White House to walk to Marine One, he'd answer questions for 30 minutes? And then you talked about how he wasn't transparent. You knew exactly what President Trump was thinking at all time. Today, we have no idea. We have no idea with Biden. We don't even know if Biden thinks. Now, he's instructed to think. And yes, is he dangerous? Yes, he's dangerous because I still say that the man believes he's big man on campus. And there's a very thin line now between what he's capable of doing and what he's actually doing. And I think what Susan Rice has been so quiet, who is right at his side, okay, I think some of the things that we are seeing implemented, you know, Joe, you just signed this executive order. What does it say? Don't worry about what it says. You know, it's like Blazing Saddles with LaPetamine, Governor LaPetamine, and you had Harvey Korman, who was the deceitful, dishonest guy, okay, who put things in front of LaPetamine to sign. What do I sign? Right here. What am I signing? Oh, don't worry. You're signing a bill for blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay. And then boom. And it's exactly what Biden is. He's been instructed.
Well, let me be clear. I didn't say that President Biden has orchestrated all this. There's definitely a puppet master. There's definitely a puppet master, but I don't think that he's ignorant of what he is doing.
Agreed.
I think he's doing it because that is exactly who he is. The results are exactly what he wants. What we consider failure and chaos is success in their world, and they're doing this, I think, for Iranians' favor. And because they seem to be Iran and China seem to be they seem to be the winners in all of this chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's happening is helping Iran and China in ways that we just don't know yet, but we'll eventually find out. But it's got to be stopped. There's got to be resistance, and the Republican Party is nowhere to be found. The media is silent, completely silent. There's no noise. Because remember we were talking, you talked to your friend, that one thing that he noticed after President Trump was gone is that there's no more noise coming from the media. Because for 4 years, all we heard was Trump is bad, Trump is this, Trump is evil, Trump is a pea grabber, Trump, anything vile and extreme that could be said. In fact, they're doing it now with Milley. With General Milley. Milley was saying that President Trump was mentally unstable, so he had to take control of the nuclear football.
Yeah.
And that's why he did it. Pelosi knew that the media was going to run with the story that Milley was actually saving the country because Trump was mentally unfit, which is the furthest thing from the truth, but she knew that the media would portray the story that way. And that story is still unfolding. It's become awful quiet as well of late.
Look, That's why, to me, this 37-second video audio, this clip from Nancy Pelosi is very telling, because it goes back and it's worth saying. And Big, I'm going to give you kudos.
Why don't you play it again? Let's hear it again.
All right.
Let's hear it. The Wicked Witch.
Before I play it, I want to give a shout out to Bigfoot. Bigfoot said Biden has been instructed. Who the heck has the authority to instruct the sitting president? And that's the part that really is troubling Big. Okay, so here is Nancy Pelosi covering for Dictator Joe.
Let me just say about our president, President Biden. President Biden we're so fortunate that he did not win for president before when he ran, because we needed him now.
Please,
he's perfect for now. He knows his foreign policy. He was chair of the Foreign Policy Committee. He's been, extends the hands of friendship to friend and foe, like in order to have communication. He understands the value of that. He knows and is known by most leaders and coming up leaders in the world.
You see, to me, this is very telling. It explains a lot. I have stated for the last 4 years that the mission statement by the Democrat Party, as written by Jerry Nadler, who crafted that six-page manifesto, How We Resist Trump and His Extreme Agenda, was an operation by the Democrat Party to resist Trump at every turn, and we saw it. We saw it happen with the phony Russian collusion that was actually contrived by Hillary Rodham Clinton. We saw it happen with the Mueller report, and the Mueller report was supposed to bring down President Trump. And Mueller, to his credit, I have to say this, I still can't believe it, but on page 2 of the Mueller report, he stated that we found no collusion between Donald Trump and anybody in his campaign. It says it right there, page 2. He had no choice but to be ethical and state it. And then you go to the Ukraine, and this is where your eyes have to open. The Ukraine issue, the big man on campus, okay? Joe Biden has diarrhea of the mouth, and he states that in that 1 minute and 57 second clip, that at a forum in April of 2019, that I told Poroshenko, the president of Ukraine, that I was going to withhold a $1 billion loan guarantee. And if he didn't believe me, call Barack, because Barack is the one who knew about this. And I think the entire Democrat Party went into resist mode at that point. And what happened? Subsequently, President Trump was impeached, or the attempt to impeach him, it was impeached on the Ukraine, where it was a quid pro quo, but it was to cover for Joe Biden, who absolutely exposed the Obama-Biden regime with his diarrhea of the mouth.
And tonight there's some troublesome news for Joe Biden. No, it's not what you think or what you may have heard in some other news outlets. We generally don't dabble in that kind of stuff here, at least not on this newscast. No, this is actually a lot more important, because it may have to do with malfeasance, may have to do with corruption on the part of our former vice president. I want you to listen to what Mr. Biden said last year about getting a prosecutor in Ukraine fired.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Solid, huh?
Solid.
Well, I guess if you're trying to get rid of a guy who's crooked.
There you go. In his own words, and that set heart palpitations that was all throughout the Democrat Party, the DNC with Tom Perez. How do we combat this? how do we push this? How do we bury this? And the first thing they did was get Adam shit for brains and go out and start talking about an impeachment of President Trump for a quid pro quo with Ukraine. Now, if we were truly, if we Americans were truly worried about corruption, it doesn't matter what side of the political aisle someone sits. If there's corruption, you want to root it out at every cause, at every turn. And it turns out that there was corruption. So now we have 2016, the FBI used as a weapon to spy on American citizens, i.e. a player in a major political party. And then we have a cover-up by the United States government with regards to Ukraine, with a sitting president and vice president, okay, strong-arming a president, an ally, President Poroshenko. And why is it? Because it ties the Biden crime family to Ukraine. Why is it? Because it ties Nancy Pelosi's family to Ukraine. Why is it? Because it ties Mitt Romney's family to Ukraine. Why is it? Because it ties John Kerry's family to Ukraine. And so it's not just about the Biden crime family, but it goes to the corruption at the core, okay, of the government now, of those people that have been embedded inside of Washington, D.C. for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And then we're supposed to believe in 2020, early on, that this former senator, the former Vice President Joe Biden, is going to be the nominee, when in fact he was running fourth behind Pocahontas Warren, senator from Massachusetts. He was getting trounced by butt cheeks, the former mayor of Indianapolis, in Notre Dame, and running third, and also behind Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, and suddenly the stalwart of the House, the bastion of the House, James Clyburn, Jim Clyburn, comes out and he supports his friend. I support my friend Joe Biden. Joe Biden's going to win South Carolina. Really? So the racist from Delaware is now being supported by a black member of Congress, and all is forgiven. All is forgiven. The association with Biden and Robert KKK Byrd, the racist comments by Biden, continued racist comments, the diary of the mouth, all of that's forgotten. And now they tell Biden, just sit tight, hide in your basement, come out when we tell you to, and make your statements. And the guy is feeling emboldened. He's the big man on campus, the big cheese. He gets to sign his name. It doesn't matter. What is the issue is you're a good old boy, you're part of that system, and now you're going to undo everything that President Trump did. Everything. Energy independence? America was energy independent. It doesn't matter what you think of President Trump. The fact is that America was on the road to energy independence, which is good for America, which is great for Americans. It's great for the U.S. economy. And from January 20th to April 1st, he undid it. He undid energy independence. And we find out that he's buying oil from the despotic regime of Iran. He's buying oil from Russia. He authorizes the purchase of oil from OPEC increases. In the meantime, America was energy independent. More money would be kept by the American people instead of going to the American government. But then the same old, tired, liberal, progressive policies are put back in place by a feckless fraud, Joe Biden. Tax the rich. That's all we hear, right? Tax, tax, tax. And then tax corporations. You know, it's the 21% tax rate. That's just not enough. Corporations need to pay more of their fair share. Oh, where have you heard that noise before about fair share? It's the same tired slogans that have been implemented for the last 60 years by the same old tired Democrat Party. But they are the institution. They run the show. And the Republicans, they're all part of that same unified party. There are some outliers. But the inroads that were starting to occur, where this Trump mentality was starting to to steamroll, and you had members of Congress like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's a Congressman Babbitt from Colorado. It was starting to they were starting to take, and that scared the hell out of the Democrat establishment. The establishment itself. There's no difference between Mitt Romney and Chuck Schumer. One's got an R, one's got a D. Big deal. They're all part of that same system. Lisa Murkowski from California, from Alaska, she is the same corrupt individual who has come from that machine in Washington, D.C. Do you think she cares about honest voting? She wins, she loses her primary race, and oh my God, all hell breaks loose. How could she lose? Then she runs this phony write-in campaign and she beats Kelly, who beat her handily? I'm just not buying it. But you see now that the systems that are in place right now, because they run the show. The establishment, the swamp runs the show. Trump was an outsider. And so now we are going to undo everything he did, including the tax plan, which was great for each and every American. It was great for corporations to invest in America. But to ensure we keep it down, let's continue this plandemic. Let's blame the unvaccinated. Now, let's take the everything out on Florida Governor DeSantis. Let's take it out on Texas Governor Abbott. Let's take it out on Georgia Governor Kemp. Okay, and we're going to start cutting the mono. The mono treatments. They cut the mono class. What the hell is it called, Al? The monoclonal
antibodies.
The state of Florida has been cut by 50%. Now, you're telling me that Joe Biden is playing politics with people's lives. He's playing politics. We're supposed to have this plandemic. It's really serious. You know what? People are dying, and we have to do something about it. And so now the monoclonal antibodies are another source of treatment, a therapeutic that can work. And what happens? Let's penalize, okay, Governor Ron DeSantis. And it doesn't matter if Floridians die. It's perfect because then it fits our narrative. DeSantis killing people, just like Trump killed 600,000 people. And this is how destructive the Democrat Party truly is. How are you playing politics with people's lives, with Americans' lives, all in the name of party affiliation? You're going to penalize Kristi Noem. You're going to penalize DeSantis, Kemp, Abbott, all because they're Republican governors who have opened their states up. Even the governor of Mississippi has opened his state up. And you heard that Yahoo from CNN. People are dying. Governor, how could you reopen your state? Excuse me. There's a 99.7% survival rate. Okay, let's just say there's a 98% survival rate from the CCP virus. Since when do we shut an entire country down with a 99% survival rate? How is it that people who have the vaccine, we're told that you get the vaccine and it's gonna help, and yet we're blaming the unvaccinated, and the vaccinated are scared because of the unvaccinated, but you have your vaccine to fend off the China virus. And let's close businesses. Wear a mask. And you have people in fear. And it's perfect. It plays to the Democrat Party. It plays to the Communist Party. It plays to the Marxists in Washington, D.C. perfectly. We've tried to divide people by race, and that's working. Now let's divide them by vaccination and unvaccinated. And now people are getting fired for not adhering to the dictatorial, tyrannical movement by this government. And yet, no one shows any outrage in Washington, D.C. over the anti-constitutional edicts that are put forth by the dictator in the White House. Huh? Okay, I want to hear from the Republicans. I want to hear from Kevin McCarthy on a daily basis I want to hear from Jim Jordan on a daily basis. I want to hear from Ted Cruz on a daily basis. Where are you? Huh? Where are you speaking out against this tyrannical edict that's put forth by a dictator in the White House? Yeah, if you get vaccinated, the unvaccinated can still kill you. Really? How is that? If you're vaccinated, how are the unvaccinated going to kill you? As a matter of fact, if you're unvaccinated and you have the antibodies, you have a natural immunity. You stand a better chance of not getting the China virus. More so, you have less than a 1% chance of getting the China virus. You have a 44% chance of getting infected if you've had the vaccine. So something just, it's not right. And yet then we see one elected official on the Democrat Party after another, okay, with these mask mandates, but they don't follow their own edicts. Just like the mayor of San Francisco. The mayor of San Francisco is videoed and she has photos of Mayor Breed in a jazz club. It continued to circulate through social media, and she's in the San Francisco nightclub maskless. Now, mind you.
Oh, my God.
There is a mask mandate in San Francisco. And this is what the mask mandate that was put down by, dropped down by my Mayor Breed. This is what it says. It says everyone, including people who are fully vaccinated, must wear a well-fitted mask indoor public settings at all times. Now, what part of all times don't you understand, Al? Please tell me if you don't understand. Now, it says people may remove their well-fitted mask while actively eating or drinking. Wow, that is mighty wide of you. Oh, my goodness. Who thought of that? I lost 5 pounds by going out to restaurants because I couldn't get the food in my mouth because I had my well-fitted mask on. Okay, so now Mayor Breed's in a dress in a jazz club. And she is circulating throughout the jazz club without a mask. And here's your governmental tyrannical edicts. You better wear a mask. It better be well fitted, and you wear it at all times. Well, Mayor, you were walking around the entire jazz club, and you were transmitting the China virus as you could have. Oh, this is the excuse. You know, she clearly feels like it's fine and safe to remove her mask, and then let the rule, and then let that be the rule for everybody. So a gym owner added, you're not impervious to COVID any more than I am. So let the rules for you be the same as the rules for me. The liberal mayor announced the need for mask mandates last month, saying, we don't want to shut down the city or this country down any longer than we have to. Oh, that's what tyrants think. Our economy and our livelihood, our kids going back to school and everything in between depends on it. The orders require all individuals, regardless of vaccination status, to wear a face covering when indoors in public settings, with limited exceptions. The mayor's office said in a press conference about the mandate last month. And can you imagine that? Mayor Breed, though, felt as though it didn't apply to her. And she was walking around the jazz club, and she was taking photos without a mask. See, these are the elitists. These are the globalists. These are the anti-constitutionalists who want to oppress you and me and tell you exactly how you should live your life, but you're not going to live it like me, like Governor Newsom going out with 12, 14 people at a dinner party. In the meantime, you can't congregate more than 6 people and maskless. See, something's just not right. It's more than hypocrisy. Something's not right.
What, masks don't work? I agree.
They don't work.
There's no mask on planet Earth that can stop a virus.
Well, but that's if you're
science.
Unvaccinated, though. Wait, what do you know?
Well, masks are a political statement. People feel that if you are masked up, then you care. You care about your community. You care about your family. You care about your friends. And if you're masked up, people won't die, Vito.
Yeah.
You want people to live, don't you, Vito? Then wear your mask.
The campaign of deceit. This
yes.
has been
it's
one...
conditioning.
Conditioning, exactly. It's conditioning. It's conditioning. And it burns the hell out of me to see how it's taken effect and how they're using children as a tool. And just when you thought that it couldn't get any worse, now Pfizer comes out and says, well, you know, you can give the vaccine to children as young as 5 years old. Why? Why? There's a 99.9% survival rate, you know, for children under the age of 17. 99.9% survival rate.
Hmm. Well, Pfizer just announced on Monday that its COVID-19 vaccine works on kids 5 to 11.
Hmm. How convenient.
I think they just opened up a whole new market.
They did. You know, this is not – look, we're not saying that the China virus isn't real and people aren't, you know, people aren't contracting it and it's not serious. I mean, it is serious when you get it, certainly. But there are therapeutics to treat this. And the fact is that the government doesn't want those therapeutics. Hydrochloroquine, ivermectin, God forbid you say the word ivermectin. And yet the ivermectin pill is 20 cents. And a ventilator is $7,500 a day. So you do the math. Dare I say?
Well, my ivermectin was $5. Very expensive. If you can get it, it's very difficult to get. I've got an inventory. Hope I don't need it. But I have friends who have gotten the virus, and one of them procrastinated. He's older, didn't really do anything until finally his oxygen levels went low, and then his wife dragged him to get the monoclonal antibodies.
Yes.
And then, lo and behold, within 48 hours, he turned the corner, his oxygen levels went up, and he was on the road to recovery. And now, like you said, that son of a bitch, President Biden, wants to hold monoclonal antibodies hostage to take a jab, no pun intended, at Governor DeSantis, and people are going to die or not be helped by not getting this monoclonal antibody treatment. I thought we lived in this country under E pluribus unum, out of many, one. With President Biden, it's screw the conservatives as much as you can, and the fallout and the deaths are irrelevant. It's disgusting.
Agreed. And, you know, Biden is the master of sound bites, and he learned it from Barack Hussein to Tora Obama. I am president for all the people. Well, if you're president for all the people, and which, you know what, if you're an American, he is the president of the United States of America, whether you like it or not. But at the same token, why are you playing lives? Why are you playing with Floridian lives, huh? All because you have a hard-on for Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida? Excuse me, but if monoclonal antibodies is an effective therapeutic, then why are you cutting the state of Florida? When you start talking about the state of Florida, you're talking about you're so concerned about the rise of COVID cases in the state of Florida. So now you're going to cut by 50%? The delivery of monoclonal antibodies as a therapeutic, and
it's evil.
All of us, we don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, we're not supposed to question that. You're playing politics with Floridian lives, all because the governor has opened up his state. And by the way, the same hypocrisy that comes out of the Biden-Harris regime when it comes to illegal aliens. Again, Baghdad Bob Jen Psaki was asked a pointed question. And she confirms that illegal aliens aren't screened and asked. Oh, they're screened, but they're not asked to show a vaccination card. Illegal aliens are to the millions have been dispersed around the United States, infected, unvaccinated. And yet it's the American people who are citizens of the United States who've been following the rules for the last 21 months are the ones that are being vilified. They're the ones that are being held hostage, and you're telling me that the illegal aliens don't have to play by the same rules? Well, and I guess I don't have to, because again, the illegal aliens, why would they play by the same rules? That's why they're illegal. Okay? They don't play by the rules. So why would they have to live by the rules?
Hell, they make up their own rules. In fact, Monday morning, Biden announced a plan to combat extreme heat caused by climate change. Extreme heat is now leading weather-related killer in the United States. It's the warmest on record. President Biden, the administration plan has four main components, according to a fact sheet distributed by the White House. You want to hear these four brilliant ideas from President Biden?
Oh, yes, let's do it. Brilliant, and Biden doesn't go intended.
He's going to limit workplace exposure. The Department of Labor will develop regulations and processes to set and enforce regulations limiting extreme heat exposure for outdoor workers in industries like agriculture, construction, delivery, indoor workers, including factory, warehouse, and kitchen staff. He's going to help families cool off, Vito. The Department of Health and Human Services has issued guidance giving states, tribes, and territories the flexibility to use funds already designated for assisting low-income households with heating bills and instead direct those funds for air conditioning, advising local efforts to fight urban heat island effect.
Oh.
Have you ever heard of this urban heat island effect?
No. I have heard it. I was sitting on the beach in the Bahamas. Oh, go ahead.
Uh-huh. Well, while you were sitting there sipping on your Corona, there is urban heat island effect killing people. The streets and buildings of cities tend to worsen extreme heat, which has a disproportionate impact on Black and Latino neighborhoods, according to an EPA report that analyzed 49 cities. Black and African American individuals are 40 to 59% more likely than non-Black individuals who currently live in high-impact areas. So the administration hopes states and cities will use that data and tools suggested in the new Forest Service report. And lastly, they're going to call all experts. The National Integrated Heat Health Information System. They just make this stuff up. They must have read 1984. The National Integrated Heat Health Information System is an interagency group put together by the White House, is monitoring and sharing data on extreme heat, and will hold an April meeting to come up with better measures to address it. Meanwhile, the Department of Homeland Security is launching prize competitions for ideas to adapt to climate change, the first of which will be focused on extreme heat. But we all know who the culprit is. The culprit is the sun. The sun controls the temperature of the earth. The sun has activity cycles, sun flare cycles.
Yes.
But there's nothing in there about controlling the sun. They put Hunter Biden on it, but he said, hey, every time I go to chase the sun, it's there for a couple hours and then it disappears. I can't ever catch it.
I have to wear my sunglasses.
At night.
Oh. At night.
But it's the sun.
Oh, my God.
The center of our universe. The sun controls everything. In fact, the moon even controls tides and the ocean.
That's right.
Who knew that?
That's as the moon gets closer, it results in higher tides.
Right. So all this is just a ploy for more regulations on businesses.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Matter of fact, I was reading in bigfootsplace.blogspot.com this weekend a story.
An excellent site, too, I might add.
Yes. www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. And I was reading how last week there was a bumbling Biden had some sort of a Zoom meeting about climate change, and China, Pakistan, India, and France did not show up. And it was this major discussion about climate change. So the real abusers of the climate, who are Russia, India, and China told Biden to pound sand. And, of course, the French, who we have the Paris Accord named after, and where the American people are paying to the tune of $4 trillion out of our treasury over the next probably 10 years. They said 80, but it's more like 10 years where, you know, the American taxpayer coffers are being raped by this green scam. The effective Biden couldn't bring those people to the table because they don't care about climate change. It's just a slogan, and that's exactly right. There's crickets. So where were they? They were nowhere to be found. And I can't find the story, but they know it's bullshit. Yes, and as long as the United States pays the lion's share of this, because it's a wealthy country, and that's exactly what the UN looks at. The UN looked, and the UN was on this call, by the way. So the UN looks at America as being a wealthy nation, and therefore the UN must pay. The U.S. must pay, and must pay dearly. In the meantime, the real culprits in polluting the earth, okay, which, again, how did my brother-in-law say it? Man will have an impact on climate 1/1,000,000,000 of one or 0.1% on a gnat's ass as compared to what the sun does on a daily basis. The sun controls the environment. That's why Neptune, Uranus are cold. Look how far away from the sun they are. We're probably the perfect distance from the sun, but this, like you said, you have sun flares, you have sunspots, which impact the climate in the United in the world, excuse me, on Earth. And, you know, I think that through technology, I think these green scammers are becoming more astute, these green scamming scientists, and they can probably project based on the current cycle of sunspots, how the weather patterns, the climate would be on Earth in a 3 to 5 year period, where before, maybe 20, 30 years ago, that technology wasn't there. So they found a new way to dupe the people of the world. And in the meantime, you have this new religious organization in the United States called the Green Movement, which now idolizes Mother Earth as their god. And that would be your Bernie Sanders, your AOC, Alexandria Cortez, and company. And it's, you know, it's the perfect ruse. So now we have to deal with the pandemic, the China virus, which has absolutely stalled the economy, which now is creating another problem in the United States, and that is employment. And you're vilified if you're not vaccinated. You're vilified if you refuse the vaccination. And as Holger said, did anyone ever question the supposed fact that people could spread COVID when they were completely asymptomatic? If that isn't true, then the only people needing to wear masks are those with symptoms. And by saying anyone could be spreading it, they force us all to wear masks. So, well stated, Holger. Again, it's the duping of the American people. And then you have medical doctors who are coming out now, finally, and on a consistent basis, and they're disputing, you know, what's coming out of the White House. And, of course, the whole system, your social media outlets, whether it's the fascists of Facebook or the twats of Twitter or Google, okay, they're all trying to control the narrative. And they create this hysteria. And, mind you, they censor your speech. And in a land where, you know, speech is free, it's only free if the fascists at Facebook agree with your thought process. And if they don't agree with your thought process, they will turn you off. They will shut your life down. And it's funny how we've become conditioned to expose our life on Facebook. And much to the delight of the fascists at Facebook, and then they can just steal, you know, your life. steal your identity. So I've stopped going to Facebook. I don't think I've been to Facebook in 3 months, and I apologize to all my Facebook followers. But I'm tired of these fascists who are controlling speech, and they hide behind, well, you know, it's our policy. Well, really, if it's your policy, then why is it that you gave $750,000, okay, to left-wing causes? Oh, that was your wife. Okay, then why did you, Mark Zuckerberg, give $750,000 to left-wing causes? Why did you spend $350 million in the last campaign, huh, for the Democrat Party? Don't tell me that your policy for Facebook prohibits you and you're violated. No, you're violating the constitutional rights of Americans. And then you're using the profits from your business, okay, for an ideology that is anti-constitutional and is anti-American. And we're supposed to accept that. We're supposed to accept it. I mean, it's just like giving to the Southern Poverty Law Center. I mean, those hypocrites, those phonies, and I wish that Andrew, I guess Andrew's not going to make it tonight, and it's too bad because Andrew Harrod wrote a great article that appeared in Jihad Watch, and it was titled Afghanistan Through Michael Shuer's Eyes, and I thought it was brilliant, and it touched on so many points that it just continues to show how ignorant the West is. And Al, it's funny. I'm hearing the stories now coming out of Afghanistan. Oh, the Taliban is going to impose strict Sharia and women are not going to have rights. Women didn't have rights. Women have very little rights in Islam. It's only in the West where women have the rights. And you know, it goes to show how Islam's dawah is to dupe the West. And how is it that American Eagle Outfitters can get a lawsuit against them, an employment lawsuit, for a woman applying for a job, getting a job. She applies for the job without a headdress. And then 7 days into her employment, she decides to show up a day with a hijab on. And right away, American Eagle is excoriated because their policy is no headdress. And then you look and you see that the con artists that care, their executive director, their chief lobbyist, okay, for in Florida, who is a fundamentalist, she doesn't wear a hijab. And how about the Muslim Brotherhood candidate that the story you sent me up in Ocala, or down in Ocala? Let's see, Ocala is the middle of the state, so down in Ocala, up in Ocala, she doesn't. She's a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, and she's gotten money from incestuous Ilhan Omar. Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib gave her $14,000. Andre Carson, another devout fundamentalist, gave her $16,000. And she is not donning a hijab. So, you know, it's funny. It's the duping of the American people to disarm the American people into thinking that there's a condition there. And Andrew Harrod's article is fantastic. I mean, it goes to show that the West is thinking that instilling democracy in Afghanistan was going to happen. It was never going to happen. It was never going to happen. The reason that Iran is called the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan, I'm sorry, Afghanistan, the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan is because it's Islamic. And so the Taliban, while it's ruling, is going back to a more fundamental, but they've always been fundamental. It's just now it's getting the press.
Well, remember last week we were talking about what's going to be happening in Afghanistan now that the Americans are gone?
Yes.
And that we were both saying, and rightly so, is that the Muslims will kill each other, the different factions, because just like they're an Islamic state, they're tribal in nature, and they can't help themselves because this is what they do and have done for 1,400 years. And then a story in the Long War Journal that came out yesterday, stated that the Islamic State remains opposed to Taliban's Islamic Emirate. The group's leaders from the Islamic State claim that only their would-be caliphate is a legitimate government. So the Islamic State has been bombing Taliban convoys in eastern Afghanistan. So the fight has begun. ISIS versus the Taliban. And we need to fuel that as much as we can. That inner hatred. In fact, she is in Afghanistan. They need to start fighting ISIS and the Taliban because they're enemies of both of them. And ISIS needs to fight the Shia. I see civil war coming. Not coming. It's here.
It's
all
there.
In a fight for Afghanistan. Yes. And and don't feel sorry for the Afghan citizens because they are more than happy to be run by their Muslim brothers and sisters, well, their brothers, as opposed to kuffar or infidel Western non-believers. And they'll just adjust. As they said, they'll change. They'll become a little more religious. They'll go to mosque five times a week. The women will dress differently. The men will dress a little differently. And then, but they'll be ruled by their fellow Muslims. And that's how they like it. That's how they want it. These women in hijabs and the full burqas where their whole face is covered, that shows, these women believe that shows that they are devout followers of Islam, and that is they are showing their love for Allah. So don't pity these women in the burqas. Don't pity these women in the hijabs and the head coverings and the face coverings, because they are showing their love for Allah, and their religiosity should be, I don't know, should be proud of them because they're very devout and fundamental. But don't feel sorry for them. Don't try to change them. That's very arrogant. Let them be. They're doing what they want to do.
That's correct. And you know, I'll tell you that there's another, there's a quote from Harvard University political scientist Tariq Masood. And I thought this was really a really good quote that was put in by Andrew. There exists no grassroots movement to democracy in the Arab world, largely because democracy does not resonate with the average Arab. It has no basis in the Arab past and is tainted by its association with the West. Now, I'm sorry, but what part of that is not understood? It's been 1,400 years of Islamic movement, and you're not going to change the hearts and minds in Afghanistan. Matter of fact, you had that opportunity, and of course, you naively thought you had that opportunity. And there is no grassroots movement for democracy. So now you are repatriating these Afghan migrants into the West, United States, United Kingdom, Germany. First of all, Sharia is their law. The Quran is their constitution. They will not assimilate into the Western societies. Why? Because democracy doesn't resonate with the average Arab. And that's not a knock on Muslims. That's just a fact, the way that they have been brought up, and it's ingrained. 1,400 years. The Quran is Islam's constitution. It is their playbook. It's their guidance. You know, it's just the naivety to think. Now, certainly we want what's best for everybody. We would love for everybody to enjoy what used to be the fruits of liberty and freedom in the United States. And of course, now we have a despot that's in the White House, and he's led by, or he has a despotic team, an anti-constitutional team. And this mentality reality is to dilute the Constitution, to dismantle the Constitution. But at one point, we did want people to feel that freedom and that liberty. And then you have a person like Linda Sarsour, that Islamic activist in America, who instructs her fellow Muslims not to assimilate in America. Now, that's sedition. That's treason. That should not be tolerated, because in America, you know, we extend that freedom, that liberty. I mean, how many people have come to America legally and have embraced America for giving that freedom, for giving that liberty? I know I have friends who migrated to America legally and now enjoy America. And as I said, one of my best friends, his mother, every year cries at Thanksgiving, cries that she's in America, cries the fact that she has the liberties and freedoms that she was not experiencing in our country. She just loves the United States of America. And when that athlete, that wrestler, that female wrestler, just was so elated after winning the gold medal, "I love America. America is the greatest country in the world." That is the epitome of an athlete. That is what an athlete should stand for. And it warmed the heart to hear that lady just come head over heels from America, carrying the American flag. That's the Olympians that we remember. That's how you laud the United States of America, who gave you the opportunity to exceed at your craft. And her craft was wrestling. God bless her. That's what America is about. And yet we have these Marxists who hate America. Why? You have the freedom to be what you want to be. You have the freedoms and the liberties, and now you're intolerant enough to deny my speech because it's not along the lines of your hateful, despotic speech. And it's okay now to abridge America's First Amendment rights. It's okay to abridge their freedom of religion. Well, you can't congregate if you have more than 10 people, and you can't hold mass. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, you can wear a mask. You go to clubs and you not wear a mask. You go into dinner, you don't wear a mask. And yet I can't go to exercise my religious freedom. And then you're censoring my speech. Oh, you can't say that. Why can't I say that? Well, I'm offended. Well, so grow a pair. Just... Oh, did you see the story in Jihad Watch? It's titled Pakistan, which sheltered Osama bin Laden, claims it paid a heavy price for supporting the United States. And I was like, the president of Pakistan, the prime minister of Pakistan, he praises the Taliban's takeover. And in true Dawah fashion, the coward now says that he regrets supporting the United States. They paid a heavy price for supporting the United States. So this is the – see, now, if we had a president who had a backbone and a spine, I would send a bill to the prime minister of Pakistan for the amount of foreign aid that the United States has given to Pakistan over the last 19 years. You paid a heavy price for supporting the United States?
Cut them off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Cut them off immediately, and then send them a bill for the last 20 years. Send them a bill.
President Trump did that. He did that to countries that were less than gracious towards the United States or downright hostile. President said, fine, we'll cut you off. He did it to Mexico. He said, we're going to cut you off with your aid unless you stop the people on your side of the border. And the media, oh, he can't do that. That's just mean. And sure enough, the desired effect happened. Not 2 weeks later, the Mexican president started stopping these illegal aliens trying to bum rush our border, and it worked out fine. But instead, our Democrat Party, they put fences to go up around the Capitol for a riot that never happened. What was there, maybe 200 or 300 people, this January 6th riot that was supposed to take place, or protest that was supposed to take place at the Capitol because of the people that got arrested during the January 6th event?
Riot? Event. There you go.
Yeah, event. Well, they put fences back up around the Capitol. They had the Capitol Police fully decked out in riot gear. And there may be a couple hundred people there. Most of them were journalists. There were a few protesters. And there were a lot of FBI undercover. People were taking pictures of them going, "Oh, you look like MAGA people." And they all looked the same with the same haircut. You look like FBI people in training. Yes, special agent. So they had FBI agents embedded in the crowd that looked like FBI agents. It was so funny. But they got it wrong the first time, and now they overdid it the second time, and nothing happened. This is under Pelosi's leadership.
Yeah.
She's responsible for security at the Capitol.
And again, it was theatrics. The whole thing is theatrics. Again,
yes.
it's
political
made for
theater.
TV. It's political theater, exactly. The idea is to paint Americans, paint Trump supporters, paint anybody who's deemed to be labeled to be a right winger, paint them as extremists. Mm-hmm. And we all know, and I saw a post earlier up on the chat room. Okay, we all know that it's not the right wing who riots, overturns cars, burns down cities, vandalizes stores. We all know it's not it. We all know that it's part of the Democrat Party. We all know it's the BLM, and it's the violent arm of the Democrat Party, Antifa. And there's no outrage when these thugs, roam around the cities in droves during a pandemic and tear up and burn cities like Minneapolis, like St. Louis, like Portland, Oregon. And we had a pandemic. We have a pandemic, and suddenly all rules go out the door for these thugs, for these anti-Americans, for these terrorists. And now we're supposed to believe that the right wing is going to create havoc in Washington, D.C., and all the police are up there in their riot gear, and 200 people showed up. Oh, 100 people showed up. Of course, conservatives aren't stupid. And, it's the political theater that's led by Nasty Pelosi, bumbling Biden, that's creating and manufacturing events that did not happen. And, today we see when the Taliban has a news conference, whether it's a newscaster who is stating the news, or it's the designated president of the Taliban, he's draped by men with automatic weapons, AK-47s, and he's draped by fellow terrorists. And that's an insurrection. That's what insurrectionists do. They look at the event of January the 6th and these insurrectionists laugh at America. That's it's not an insurrection. It was a political theater. It was a stunt by Nancy Pelosi and the DC cabal who wants everyone to believe that the right wing, that Trump supporters are terrorists, including George W. Bush, who had the audacity during a solemn event on 9/11 in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, to call Trump supporters terrorists. I think that was disgusting. But you know what? I don't expect anything less from the establishment, because the establishment is on both sides of the political aisle. And President Trump was and is the outsider, and they can't stand it. They can't stand the fact that the American people actually supported this man. Why? Because he had the right message. He had the message he was tired of what he was seeing in the United States. He was tired of seeing the corruption inside of Washington, D.C., and nothing getting done. And things started to get done. And to the dismay of the cabal of Washington, D.C., they hated him for that. Because he exposed how lazy and how ineffective this corrupt government is, how the corruption of Nancy Pelosi was in full swing, in full resistance mode, and now she lauds this feckless fraud as he botches Afghanistan, leaves Americans behind, and then supports a despotic terrorist regime, the Republic State, the Islamic State of Iran, with the same anti-Americans that were in the previous administration of Obama Biden, and the same players are back now running things in the Biden Harris Obama regime.
And they're so mired in the past, I don't think they're even going to be able to do anything effective for our future threats and national security threats. For example, do you know the cost of going into space now? It used to be $20,000 a kilogram, according to C4ISR.net, and now it's down to roughly $20 a around $2,000 a kilogram, that's about a pound plus, to get material into space, into orbit. So now at $2,000 a pound, small countries, corporations, rich individuals now have access to space. Now, there are a lot of satellites, there's space stations, space platforms circling our Earth all the time. So now we're looking at space terrorism is the new frontier for threats from our adversaries. Because imagine this for a second. $2,000 a pound, almost anybody with a couple of million dollars can get a satellite put into space that could act as a guidable drone to go right into our space station or one of our military satellites. Imagine that. Iran puts up deadly space satellites to go after and hold hostage our space station. Imagine that new world, and we're not even talking about it yet.
Right.
So keep your eyes open, because that's going to be a challenge for the future.
And why would China suddenly get into the space game? You know, they launched
they've got a space platform now. They have a space station. And I guarantee you that the Chinese are militarizing that space platform one way or another. And as lasers become more cheaper and more operationally friendly with less power, they may be able to run a laser off of a space-based platform. And if we're not doing the same, if we don't have forward-thinking leadership at the highest levels of office, our national security is going to be at serious risk, and that concerns me greatly.
Well, I don't think we have that, and this is where – okay, so here's a question for you then. You know, I don't think we have that forward-thinking, and I think it's all by design. There's no way that Biden is and Harris are there to be forward thinking. Their forward thinking is to enter the global community and to dismantle our constitution. You said that you know, you don't think Biden is stupid. So obviously Biden is overlooking China's landscape, China's activity. Would you say that, or, you know, is it, would he have blinders on and just, you know, focusing on, you know, what's happening? Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, Biden's trying to turn the page and reorient U.S. priorities and aspirations that led to the hasty U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. The problem we have is that there's no pretty way to do something like that, said Representative Clyburn. And that we learned that unity is the one thing that must never break, Biden said. Unity makes us who we are, America at its best, and to me that's the central lesson of September 11th. However,
except if you're
Biden
in Florida.
Biden seeks to reframe American foreign policy objectives, shifting the national focus to major nation competition and potential conflict with China and Russia. But at the same time, he's aiding and abetting China and Russia, so this is getting complete mixed signals that's being reported in the media. So what's true? Is he helping China and Russia and Iran or not? I don't know. But everything he's doing says that he is trying to help China, Russia, and Iran. And maybe in his Marxist thinking, he needs to bring the United States down a couple of pegs so there's equality and parity, and the United States is no longer the one lone superpower in the world.
That's Marxism. Without a doubt. And I think I certainly think that Biden is doing that. I think that Biden is emboldening, first of all, Iran's not being spoken about, but now Iran is coming out stating that with the nuclear deal, they're looking at, I saw it in Bigfoot's place. So they want the Biden administration and they want the UN to step up and start honoring the Iran deal. Well, okay, so Biden will capitulate, go, and of course he'll embolden Iran. He's already showed that he's going to support Iran by buying their oil. So he's cut the United States' independency for oil, and now supporting the Islamic terrorist state of Iran by authorizing the purchase of oil from Iran. Now, at some point in time, you would think that the media, you would think that even the Republicans, you would think that, forget about Republican, Democrat, you would think that politicians in Washington, D.C. would start calling out this seditious activity by the President of the United States. You know, they were so worried if President Trump used the word a or ah or an, or misspoke, using a word had instead of have, that Biden can say and do anything that he pleases, and there's no accountability. We were told how that President Trump lacked the transparency, which was an absolute flat-out lie, and now you have an adult in the White House who is less than transparent. There is zero transparency from this guy. And when he gets into a corner, I've been instructed that this is over. I've been instructed to take no questions. How is that? Why is this even tolerated? I mean, this is the
I want to know. I want to know who's giving the instructions.
Exactly.
In fact, there was one congressman that was asking Blinken, who's turning off the news feeds when President Trump is speaking in the middle of a speech? They shut off the media feed. Who's doing that? Who's shutting off the President of the United States' ability to speak to the American people? No answer.
Of course not. What? They're going to answer and expose this cabal who is subversive in the White House? I mean, again, and guess who's in the White House pulling a string? Susan Rice. My goodness. This corrupt woman continues to show up in every way, shape or form. She continues to show up, her name, association. And, she sanitized Benghazi, 4 dead Americans. She furthered a false narrative. She furthered a lie before the United Nations. And then, of course, Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama even carried out the lie to the nth degree in front of the United Nations.
Yep. And the Republican Party doesn't even speak her name. They are not doing their job.
That's exactly
right.
Breaking
news out of Russia. But, 6 killed after a shooter opens fire at a Russian university. Shocking footage shows students jumping from windows in Perm.
Ooh.
And this is 48 minutes ago. Six people confirmed dead, 28 injured after a shooting on the campus of a university in the Russian city of Perm.
They apprehended I saw that.
Perps. Yeah.
Oh, they did? They apprehended him? Okay.
They apprehended him. No news yet.
Yes. Matter of fact, I saw that at Bigfoot's place from the Moscow Times. This is the kind of news that Big puts on it. And the funny thing was, when I first saw Perm State, I looked at it, I thought it said Penn State. And it says, if you wrongly read that as Penn State, don't feel bad. For a second, I did too. So, yeah, that's pretty bad. I thought maybe it was a Chechen, but it's interesting that they had a shooting in Russia. That very rarely happens unless it's a terrorist related. But this was a terrorist, so.
Who knows? I mean, it came from Russia Times, and if you're interested in propaganda and how it works and watching it live and in action, go to RT Russian Times and sign up on their to get their emails for stories. Because it's a government-owned publication, so they control the media, the Russians, and then you'll see how propaganda is spun, and it's a lot of fun to watch and read. And you get some news like this way before the American press even puts it out, because the American press is incompetent, to say the
actually
least.
If you want to watch propaganda in action, just watch Baghdad Bob Jensaki hold a White House press conference, briefing.
God.
Oh my God! Today it was and you know, when she gets nervous, you know she's lying. She sits there and she just flips pages while she's trying to come up with an answer. You ever watch that?
Mm-hmm.
Watch that book. As she's giving an answer, she starts flipping pages as if she's important and she's going to answer the question. And it was like, Peter Ducey asked her a question, and the answer was quite simple. You know, why are you not requiring vaccine passports from illegal aliens? And she circled all around it, and then she had the audacity to say to Peter Ducey, well, you know, if you let me finish the answer, I'll answer your question. It's like, you never answered the question in the first place. She never answered the question. It was funny to watch. I mean, you want to talk about the propaganda queen? She is the princess of propaganda.
I mean,
Bob Jensaki, she is the perfect stooge to not answer questions. And of course, she's now, of course, Peter Ducey. I'm surprised that I guess maybe it's just a little bit of a stage where she could take, you know, she doesn't answer the question. She doesn't. Yep. And then move on to the next question. It's like, you didn't answer the question. You said, yep.
Jen Saki. If you notice, next time you watch her, how many times she says, and it is a great drinking game and a lot of fun if you're sitting at home and you're bored with your friends hanging out, and a Jen Saki news conference comes on, and then you can play the Jen Saki drinking game, and every time she says, you have to take a drink.
You know, I have to tell you, ever since you mentioned that a couple of weeks back, this one in particular, today's press reading, and then the flipping of the pages. And let me tell you, and if you look at let me just say and it's like, oh my God. I mean, it's pathetic.
So she's either woefully unprepared, or else she's bullshitting, because when people are thinking of what to say, they use as to buy them a little bit of time. Whether consciously or subconsciously, people who say all the time are thinking on their feet of what to say next, because in her case, it would be professionally unprepared for her task at hand. Plus, she's a lying bitch, so I think that it buys her a little room to make up some kind of BS or just to not answer at all and move on to the next person. But thank God Jim Ducey's there, because all the other reporters there in the media are lapdogs.
They are. They are lapdogs. And Peter Ducey, you know, he does ask some really good questions, and he did kind of cut her off, and she was going down a road where she was not answering the question because, like you said, she's a bullshit artist. That's why I call her Baghdad Bob Jensacki, because she was Baghdad Bob. I mean, she's exactly what Baghdad Bob was in Iran. And she absolutely is a BS artist. And it's just, sickening to sit there and listen to her.
Yeah, and go back one short year ago and how rude the media was to President Trump.
Oh, rude.
Or McInerney or whoever the press secretary was at the time. They were downright cruel and mean and making accusations and false statements one after another. And that was part of that noise. You don't hear that noise anymore except from Ducey, and that's it.
Yep. Yep.
It's enough to make you want to puke.
And it's all by design. You know, President Trump was an outsider. His entire team was an outsider. And the fact is that Kayleigh McInerney, she could answer questions. She didn't have to worry. She knew what the answers were, and she was well-versed on the topics. And Baghdad Bob Jensacki, you know, she's going to have to circle back,
sure.
back, you know, and just, yeah, she's the perfect person, you know, for this dishonest regime. This is absolutely, they are flat out dishonest.
Well, she used to be at the State Department for Hillary Clinton, so she earned her chops there.
All you need to know, right there.
Yep.
All you need to know. So tomorrow, all you need to know is the Cross and the Crescent at 6 p.m. Eastern Time with Eric from Kafiristan. Wednesday, Hank Jones and Polly Sports, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You got Thursday, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. He's also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. Check out Paul's show at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Friday, Andrew Harrod, Conservative Casual Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday, Minister Osama Dakdak and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And Sunday, the Cross and Crescent are back with a real interfaith dialogue with Eric from Kafiristan. Does a fantastic job. If you want to understand Islam, if you want to understand Christianity, I urge you to go to, if you have time on Sundays, to listen to his show. It's fantastic. And then Monday on, I'll be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows to listen to on Blog Talk Radio. And certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to G-Ski and Dave. G-Ski and Dave are Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio, Airwaves America. G, we're praying for you, man. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Fridays 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time with our great sidekick, Curtis. Oh, actually, this coming Friday, which would be the 24th, I believe, I will be sitting in as co-host. Curtis is out of town on a book signing, so I will be Annie's co-host from 1 to 4 p.m. on Friday. That should be fun. Chief, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, and Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to audreyrusso.com. She has some great guests, and if you want to get away from politics, and you want to get away from the Islamic news, check out the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Spreaker.com. Have you exercised today? I did not, actually. I took today off after walking 6 miles yesterday. So the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, Hash Brown G Patriot Radio, Hash Brown Mama Mia No Sharia. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootplace.blogspot.com, Ducky Northwest, Hi Guy, nice to see you, Guy, our big fat soft underbelly, OBFSU, Paul Sutliff, the Sutliffian Report, and Sue from New Mexico. Thank you, Sue, and keep Sue in your prayers, too. It is a difficult time for her and Sue. Hug, Mama Mia hugs to you. Al, any parting
shots?
Adios,
amigos. We'll see you next week.
Hey, folks, be aware. Be careful out there. Be aware of your surroundings and be safe out there. Thank you for joining us this evening. Good night, folks.
Yes, it was mine.
That's all, folks.
Great timing.
I tried.
Well, that 2 hours went by pretty quick.
Boy,
yeah,
we didn't even talk about college football at all.
No, we didn't. Kind of you got sidetracked there with right out of the box. So, you know, and with politics, with G-Ski, and you know, sorry to hear about him and Andrew. You know, I guess we timing wasn't right tonight. So we'll see what happens. And
yeah, I kind of dropped the ball on that one. My apologies. I should have contacted him yesterday, but I got distracted. Oh, did you hear about the two officers that were ambushed in Houston?
Yes.
One shot fatally while serving a narcotic arrest warrant.
31-year veteran, Officer Jeffrey, 31 years.
Yeah.
And the other officer wounded was 20 years. And I guess he was in surgery, but they said he will survive. So, and they did get the scumbag drug dealer. He's dead.
Mm-hmm. Good.
31 years. I'll tell you. And I came out shooting. The wife came to the door from the what I read. The wife came to the door, mm-hmm. and there was two kids. And then the guy, her husband, came out shooting. And ambushed the cops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read the same story. With kids in the house shooting through his wife. Hey, at least they killed him. Nobody else was injured. And, boy, I tell you, I got a lot of respect for our law enforcement officers.
I do, too. I'll tell you. And I think it's even more, I hope that, people will go to investusa.org, INVESTUSA.org. This is a 501c3. It's not an investment. It's about equipping police officers with active shooter vests, and it's there to save lives. And before, this is really weird, before investusa.org got rolling, less than 25% of police officers had vests. Can you believe that? They had any type of vest. I didn't realize that. And now over 58%, no, is it 70%? Close to 60, I think it's over 60% of the officers now are equipped with active shooter vests as a result of investusa.org's efforts of equipping police officers with active shooter vests. Awesome. They are rapidly getting active shooter vests to police officers and first responders around the country. So God bless them. If anybody goes, I strongly recommend you go to investusa.org, and they'll take any donation, any amount, $1, $2, $10, $25. They'll take any amount of money. That's the mission that they have, and over 90%. Of what you donate goes to purchase of a police officer's vest. So they have less than 10% of their money is for administrative costs to maintain, you know, the websites and filings and all that. So again, they are committed to getting police officers active shooter vests. Great organization.
Yeah, it's a shame they got to go to the private sector to get critical equipment to save lives.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not like police officers are – I think teachers are paid more in a lot of respects, a lot of times. And they get 3 months off during the year.
Yeah, they work 9 months a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you. Oh, this whole thing is just – You brought up a really good point, and I have to agree with you, because at some point in time, you know, I know that bumbling Biden, he stutters, stammers, he shuffles, but he knows
what he's like a totally incoherent idiot. But I just cannot believe I can't believe how in one breath we can say how incompetent he is, but his competency in fucking things up is phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's batting a thousand. Everything he's touched has screwed up, whether it's this new four-point plan to end global warming, which I thought we were in global cooling. It's total lunacy. And then just getting out of Afghanistan and everything else.
No.
Everything's gone to shit. So he's batting 1,000 and doing a lot of things incredibly bad. So it's got to be by design. Whether he's coming up with it all, I don't know. But he's going along with it, and he is the president. He's not fighting it.
No, and that's just it. He's going along with it, and yes, he is. I think he's fully aware of what's happening. I think he's endorsed this 100%, and the idea is to push America further to the left and down a global path. And how can you sit there and not know that you're violating the United States Constitution? Your ass sat in the United States Senate for 40-plus years. You sat in the White House as vice president for 8 years, and you don't know that you're violating the United States Constitution? And you're okay with violating the Constitution. And then you have the audacity last week to give a speech that your freedoms don't matter. What the hell was that? And then the following Saturday, last Saturday is Constitution Day. And your freedoms don't matter? What? That is, I was stunned.
Tyrannical. The law doesn't matter, and that's because we're in a medical emergency situation. Medical emergency situation for something that has a 99.5% and 8% survival rate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's Ebola that's boiling out your insides and turning them into goo and is... you get within a mile of it, you get sick. That, to me, Ebola is a medical emergency. And that was in another country, for Christ's sake.
You know, and thanks to you, it really started questioning with regards to the therapeutics being given. And you opened my eyes on that. And what I mean is, you have an effort right now in the government to, and you see it, you know, there's a couple of shows that on Newsmax. Well, one, I like Grant Stenchfield. I like Stenchfield, and he plays clips of the CNN newsreaders like Jake Tapper, and it's amazing how they vilify people that have the audacity to speak up about, you know, therapeutics like ivermectin or monoclonal antibodies. And thanks to you, the one thing that I see is while the deaths are being reported for those people who have died from COVID, what we're seeing is hospitals refusing to administer the therapeutics that they say don't work or are suspect, like ivermectin. And then you see Dr. Corey, who has not changed his position in a year now, not changed his position, has 100% survival rate with administering ivermectin to patients. 100%. Now, that may have only been 1,600 people, 100% survival rate, and yet the DNC media absolutely excoriates anybody who is a proponent of these therapeutics, and the government sits there and they wring their hands of any treatments because one, oh, wasn't it if Donald Trump was to tell me to take the vaccine, I wouldn't do it. But now that they're in office, they're mandating, not just asking or requesting, they're mandating. They're threatening your livelihood now, and it's okay. It's okay because these fucking frauds said so.
I mean, they're doing it. A lot of these governments, if you don't take it,
yeah,
then you're going to get fired. Even down to Target, other companies, Walmart, if you don't get the vaccine or show proof of vaccine, you're going to get fired. And imagine you put in your 30 years, you're up in senior management through hard work and just doing the grind, doing the work and competently and advancing, and then all of a sudden, right now, all that goes to shit if you do not get the vaccine that you may or may not want to take. And if you don't want to take it for whatever reason, your whole career is down the toilet, not because of doing a bad job, it's because you're not going to take medicine forced on you literally by the government. And I'm talking forced. You don't have a choice. It's your career or you take the vaccine. And if I was in that position, I would take the damn vaccine, and I would be very upset about it. I would. Or I'd find a way to get a pay somebody off to get a fake card if necessary.
I'm torn.
They would, yeah. I think I would get the shot, and I would get it, and but it would be under duress, and I wouldn't like it, but I would do it because I got to feed my family, got to take care of business.
I have to tell you, I'm torn. I'm listening. You know, I know what you said about you take it. I'm torn.
I would take it. And
go ahead.
No. I was just saying. I'm just repeating what I said.
I'm telling you, I'm torn right now. I'm almost, and my, you know, my wife, Mrs. V, is not very happy with me right now. I have a potential to lose my job, but I honestly, I'm gonna stick to my principles on it. See, I don't understand, Al. There's a 99.7% survival rate. And even if it's a 98% survival rate, and I'm not saying that this is not real.
Let's go to 90, even.
Even 90.
Let's go to 90, yeah.
The fact is, if you have the antibodies, which I had the China virus back in February, if you have the antibodies, you have a natural immunity. And now there's no allowance for that. It's either black or white. Either you get stuck, you get the jab, and you roll over, or you lose your job.
Yeah. And now after a year and a half, it is common knowledge that the vaccine that they're going to give you or give somebody is good for maybe 6 months. Mm-hmm. And now the boosters are coming out, which are not FDA regulated. So now they're pushing the boosters because the COVID shot's already wearing out after 6 months. So now they're forcing you to take something that they know in 6 months is going to not do whatever it's supposed to do.
Isn't it ironic that that the FDA now has hastily approved the Pfizer booster?
Mm-hmm.
With all that's going on, with all that's been said, all of a sudden, you've got Pfizer just boom, comes out.
Yeah. What about Moderna? Are they FDA approved? The other ones? Are they just Pfizer?
Pfizer.
I don't know. I'm asking a question. I don't know.
Yeah, just Pfizer. Right now, Pfizer is the only one that the FDA has approved. Now, they're not saying about...
Right?
Yeah, it's a two-shot. And the same with Moderna's a two-shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to do whatever you got to do. And
I know. I'm absolutely torn. I guess I told my wife, I guess I'm not going on another cruise for a while.
Well, you have to go on a cruise. If I'm going on a cruise, like,
I'm not getting shot. Well, you could go test. I'm not going to get tested either. I'm not going to submit. I'm not going to spend $180 a pop to get tested and I have to do three tests. That's $450, $460. No, not doing it. $540, excuse me. That's the old math.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
do it.
I told my wife, if they're doing, because she's always asking, well, if your friends do the Israel trip this year, because we go probably about every year for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
She goes, well, you'll get the shot, won't you, if you have to? I said, no, I won't go. I won't go. And she goes, you'll go. I know you'll go. I said, no, I don't think I'll do it. Not for that. I'll wait.
Yeah.
Again, push comes to shove, I may change my mind, but if it's a matter of work and taking care of business responsibilities and financial responsibilities, for me, it's a no-brainer. You got to do what you got to do. That's how I look at it. But I'm not in that position, so it's easy for me to speculate what I would and wouldn't do. I mean, I'd look into suing the company, forcing you to do a medical procedure. But I don't know how that. I haven't really explored that whole rocky road. And who wants to do that to the company you work for?
So get this action now. So guess what? Because of the pandemic, because this is labeled a pandemic, it now waives any it waives
liability.
All conditions under the Privacy Act, HIPAA.
So you can't, there's nothing to sue for because we're in an extraordinary situation.
So the only thing that we have remaining is if the government, the governor, okay, was to, of your state, so forget about New York, you're up in Little Falls, because even with this new governor, with Cuomo gone, she's not going to protect the citizens of New York. But governors that are in, let me see, it was Mississippi, Florida, South Dakota, South Carolina, and Alabama, and there were three other states. I think there was nine states total and two attorney generals who were filing suit against the federal government. Arizona was one. That was another one. Arizona, Georgia, that's it. Arizona, Georgia, all filing suits to sue. So, but New York, New Jersey, nope. The liberal bastion.
Who had time to wait for that to go through the very, very slow legal process?
I'm just wondering if it's pushed to the Supreme Court quickly, how quick would they rule on it? I think October is when they meet again, so it's very possible that the Supreme Court could hear the case.
God. Well, I feel bad for you. That is a horrible position. That's got to be the worst position you could be in.
Oh man, it's not pleasant right now.
That's an understatement. It's your heartfelt beliefs, your medical beliefs, whatever those may be, versus your career.
I have no desire to get the jab. I've got none. I continue looking at this going, you have the 99%. I'll forget about the point. You have a 99% survival rate, and you're now – you've created hysteria and fear inside the people. And I'll tell you, what really pisses me off even, and I think it lends to this stubbornness or this wall, is how it made my niece absolutely just fearful. And it really pissed me off.
From you, because you're unvaccinated.
No, no. When we were walked into it, we were walking into an Italian restaurant. We were going to get pizza,
right.
And she forgot her mask, and she would not. She was actually in fear. She would not walk in with that. It's like if we walk in, we take four steps to our left, and we're going to sit at a table, and it's no different. When we get to the table, we take our mask off.
Yeah.
And she would not. She would not walk in the restaurant without a mask.
No, when she gets to the table, she can take it off because COVID's not there. She couldn't put it together. How is the COVID not in the walkway, but the COVID's in the walkway, but not at the table?
Yes.
To me, that's amazing. And then don't forget, there are a lot of people that were impacted by statins.
Statins.
And that was FDA approved, and then a lot of people, that created some pretty horrific side effects.
Yeah. Yeah, statins have real side effect. I mean, muscles, for one thing, it attacks the muscle enzymes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's and that was federally approved, and it's helped a lot of people, but it's also hurt a lot of people, too. And you don't hear about that so much anymore.
You know, and there's a, I know this for a fact. Actually, I got it firsthand that doctors have uncovered in a study that 25% of people who take a statin drug for 20 years or longer develop will lose the gene and develop Alzheimer's.
Could be.
And they develop, and they've pinpointed the gene that's lost, and that gene does not regenerate.
Really?
Yes.
So why is it still on the market?
You know, because it I guess for 75% of the people, it works brilliantly, right? It works. It does its effectiveness. So we're talking about 75% of people. 25% stand a chance to develop Alzheimer's. But now we're talking about 99% of the people will survive the China virus, and you have to take a vaccine.
Yeah, and what kills me is even if you take the vaccine, great, you can still get the goddamn virus.
Right.
You can still be asymptomatic and spread it to everybody after you get the shot.
After you get the shot.
So and what does the shot do?
Well, are people asymptomatic when they get the shot and spreading it?
Yeah. In fact, I would say the people that get the vaccine feel invincible. So they're like human super spreaders because they can still catch it, but their symptoms will be less. They may think they just got the sniffles or something, but meanwhile, they're passing on COVID to every person around them.
Right.
With a false sense of security. So you take the vaccine, you can still get the COVID. Okay, that's a fact. All right, so why would I take a vaccine where I can still get the COVID and still pass it on? Well, your symptoms will be less. I said, okay, well, my symptoms will be less. Great. There's therapeutics. There's monoclonal antibodies. Pretty awesome from what everybody says. They limit your symptoms, too, and keep you out of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really, logically, there's not a reason to take it. So why are they forcing it? I don't know. It's a big question.
A lot of unanswers, a lot of skepticism, just a lot.
Yeah, and this Pfizer, I heard there's no liability. They're immune from liability.
Yeah. I think that was one of the things that even Moderna and Johnson & Johnson are immune from liability.
Right, because it's an emergency medical situation, but still, if they don't have faith enough to deal with, if they got immunity, that gives them license to who God knows. I mean, who are their vendors? They're not producing all this and distributing it. They got vendors, so they'll use the cheapest vendor possible, not necessarily the best. Because there's no immunity. What do they have to be afraid of?
Nothing.
Yeah.
So we're betting that they're ethical. That their moral compass is going in the right direction, and that they'll spend extra profits in order to make sure their product is safe up and down the chain, the supply chain. I mean, I don't have that much faith.
You don't? I don't understand.
I don't know. The pizza guy cuts corners on putting cheese on your pizza. Holy mackerel.
Man, I'll tell you, we are just this whole thing. We're just being duped. I can't help but say it. I can't help but feel it. I mean, just something is so wrong.
Yeah, but you're stuck with this this dilemma. I feel sorry for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a dilemma. And I'm just,
you know. What do you do?
I don't know what to do. You know, I just, I guess I'll have to.
You'll figure it out. You don't want to say anything more.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out.
And they can't even become a priest because they are required to get shots. So
get out, really? The Pope said all priests must be in, must have. Oh, there's a shortage on priests that aren't that are good priests, and you can't even do that because you have to have your vaccine card to be a priest.
Father Vito, where's your card? All right, my son. Safely help Mary for him. Father Vito. I got a dilemma, Father Vito.
What's your problem, my son?
Oh, my God. All right. Hey, have a good evening.
All right, I'll talk at you later. Good luck.
All right. Thank
Great
you.
Show. That was
fun. Yeah. All right, Rabbi, I'll talk to you later. Oi.
All right. May the monoclonal antibodies be with you, my friend.
Thank you. Hey,
all
right,
take care.
I know Sue's on the line, and I know she's really moved by what's happening with G-Ski and Sue. You know, prayers to you, and I'm very sorry that you're having to go through this with G. And you know, prayers are with you, and certainly with G-Ski. I feel really bad, especially how positive of a man he is, and how upbeat he's been this whole time. So it's just sad. He's one of the good guys.
Yeah.
All right. I'll talk at you later.
All right. Have a good week. Adios.
You too.
That's all, folks.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Good. Bye. Good.